Good day and welcome to Gene Tool's Audio Notes. The topic of this note is getting and preparing a Morpholino oligo. Gene Tools makes Morpholino oligos used to modify gene expression. I'm John Moulton. This audio note will outline the steps needed to select and order a Morpholino oligo. I'll assume you know what an antisense oligo is and that you have some background in molecular biology. Our goal is to help you through the first parts of your first Morpholino experiment. The steps go something like this. Choose a target gene. Choose a targeting strategy, like blocking translation or modifying splicing. Choose an organism or cell type. Send the RNA sequence that you want to target to Gene Tools for oligo design. When the oligo design comes back, check the oligo target for homology with targetable regions of other genes. If needed, have Gene Tools select a different target. Decide on a delivery strategy. Decide on oligo end modifications. Place the order online. Receive the oligo from FedEx. Make a stock solution in sterile water. Store oligos at room temperature in the dark. You may also refrigerate or freeze Morpholinos, though this sometimes makes oligos precipitate. Before use, heat oligos that were stored cold to 65 degrees centigrade for 10 minutes. Okay, these are the topics we'll cover in considerably more depth throughout this audio note. This is the first Gene Tools audio note, offering an overview of how to get started with Morpholinos. We expect to produce many more audio notes covering specific aspects of Morpholino use in detail. Usually, the first step in planning a Morpholino experiment is to choose a target gene, a target organism or cell, and a targeting strategy. You'll need sequence information about that target gene, either messenger RNA sequence, mRNA sequence, if your targeting strategy is to block translation, or pre-mRNA sequence, if your targeting strategy is to modify splicing. Your choice of targeting strategy will depend partly on how you want to assay for antisense effect. You should assay at the molecular level, either by doing an immunoassay such as a Western blot for a translation-blocking oligo, or, if you're using a splice-modifying oligo, by doing reverse transcriptase polymerase chain reaction, which from now on I'll call RT-PCR. If you're going to block translation, you'll need to target somewhere in a region of the mRNA comprised of the 5' untranslated region, I'm going to call that the 5' UTR, and the first 25 bases of coding sequence. Morpholino oligos can halt the progress of the small ribosomal subunit as the initiation complex travels from the mRNA's 5' cap to the start codon. Once the large subunit of the ribosome docks at a start codon, a Morpholino cannot stop translation. The ribosome just displaces the oligo and reads through. Morpholinos sterically block interactions of cellular macromolecules and complexes with RNA, but can't block the mature ribosome, so the Morpholino must cover the start codon or sequence upstream of the start in order to block translation. Unlike some other antisense types, such as phosphorothioate RNA or small interfering RNA, a Morpholino oligo does not trigger enzymatic degradation of its target mRNA strand. This means that assaying the concentration of the target RNA doesn't tell you whether or not the Morpholino is working. Instead, to check efficacy of a translation blocker, you need to assay the amount of the mRNA's protein product, and that means you need an antibody that will recognize the protein. There are various immunoassays to choose from. Typically, Western blots are used, but dot blots or enzyme-linked immunosorbent assays, ELISA, could also be used. Regardless of the specific immunoassay chosen, you need to wait a while between the time when the Morpholino is delivered into the cytosol of cells and the time when you harvest cells for the immunoassay. Morpholinos inhibit translation of the target protein, but they do not accelerate the degradation of pre-existing protein. The protein will disappear from the cell at its usual turnover rate. Typically, you can see a clearly observable difference in the concentration of the protein of interest by 48 hours after delivery, but a protein with a slow turnover might require a longer delay before the assay. If you're going to modify splicing, you'll need to target the pre-mRNA. Typically, splice junctions are targeted to inhibit the binding of the small nuclear ribonucleoproteins that mark the splice donor and splice acceptor sites for the spliceosome. Less commonly, the RNA sites where splice regulatory proteins bind are targeted with Morpholinos. The first splice site in a pre-mRNA is the exon 1, intron 1 site, while the last splice site in an N-exon gene is the intron N-1, exon N site. Targeting either the first or last splice site will usually cause inclusion of the adjacent intron in the mature mRNA. Targeting any of the other splice sites, the internal splice sites, will usually cause excision of the adjacent exon from the mature mRNA. The mature mRNA for a typical 3-exon gene contains exon 1, exon 2, and exon 3. Here are the typical results from targeting the splice junctions of that 3-exon gene with morpholinos. Target exon 1, intron 1, and include intron 1 in the mature mRNA. Target either intron 1, exon 2, or exon 2, intron 2, and exclude exon 2 from the mature mRNA. Target intron 2, exon 3, and include intron 2 in the mature mRNA. This simple model can be complicated by the presence of cryptic splice sites, which can redirect splicing to unexpected locations when a splice site is blocked. The mRNA produced from any splice-blocking experiment should be characterized with RT-PCR to determine how the oligo actually changed splicing. If an exon excision is expected, RT-PCR primers should be targeted to the adjacent exons, for instance, in our 3-exon model. To characterize an intron 1, exon 2 oligo, you would target primers in exon 1 and exon 3 to detect excision of exon 2. Set the primers back from the splice junction so that if the exon is excluded, you still get a long enough RT-PCR fragment that will take up a visible amount of stain on a gel. For the 3-exon model, positioning primers 50 bases upstream into exon 1 and 50 bases downstream into exon 3 will produce a 100-base RT-PCR product if exon 2 is cleanly excised, which should be plenty to see on a gel if the transcript is not rapidly degraded. If the excision of an exon causes downstream sequence to be frame-shifted, rapid degradation of the transcript often results. A stop codon brought into frame well upstream of the mRNA's poly-A tail causes nonsense-mediated decay, decreasing or eliminating the signal from the RT-PCR. Remember that if you block translation, you must wait for some of the pre-existing protein to degrade before you can detect the knockdown by an immunoassay. A nice feature of blocking splicing is that the RT-PCR assay can be done just a few hours after delivering the morpholino oligo into the cells, and the splice modification can be detected and characterized. However, pre-existing protein activity will still persist until normal protein turnover pathways clear the pre-existing protein from the cell. Remember, too, that some splice modifications may produce modified proteins that retain their activity. So to eliminate protein activity, you should target either the exon encoding the protein domain that causes the activity, or target an upstream exon that will cause the sequence downstream to be frame-shifted if excised. When you know roughly where to target, it's time to select the precise target site for the morpholino. There are targeting rules that help design a good oligo, and I'll address these in a later audio note. All you really need to know to get started is that we'll do the targeting for you, and there's no charge for that service. You send us some target sequence, we use our software to select a morpholino with good characteristics, and we email the design back to you. You should keep in mind that we don't search the genome of your organism of interest for homologous targets that might cause off-target interactions. That step is your job. And if you find that the oligo has too much off-target homology, we'll be happy to try another design for you. To submit sequence for design, go to our website, www.gene-tools.com, and click on the Ordering tab, which is among the tabs near the top of the webpage. This will bring up a page with a list of links, of which the top link is Free Oligo Design. Click on that link, and you will see the Oligo Design web form. Enter your name and carefully enter your email address. We sometimes have finished designs bounce from incorrect email addresses. There are instructions on the top of the page detailing the format you should use for sending sequence. You can send a database accession number, but if you do that and your number refers to any database but GenBank, please tell us which database the number references. For a translation blocker, send sequence from the targetable region, the 5' UTR through the first 25 bases of coding, and put parentheses around the start codon. If you don't have sequence for the entire targetable region, just send what you have. If the start codon is not in the sequence, make a note that the start is downstream of the sequence that you've provided. Otherwise, you'll get an email asking, where is the start? Oh, and be sure the sequence you send for translation blocker design is sense sequence. For a splice blocker, send the sequence of the splice junction you'd like us to target. Write the exon sequence in uppercase and the intron sequence in lowercase. We'd like at least 10 bases of exon and 25 bases of intron, ideally 15 bases of exon and 35 bases of intron. You can send an ensemble accession number, but please specify which transcript and which exon you'd like us to target. So, you've sent us some sequence and received back an oligo design. Next, you should check the oligo sequence for homology to other RNA sequences in your organism of interest. A blast search is a good start. You're mainly interested in homologous targets in the 5' UTR through the first 25 bases of the coding sequence in mature mRNA, or homologies that lie across the splice junctions of pre-mRNA sequence. A homology of less than 15 contiguous bases is likely to have low enough oligo-RNA affinity that it won't cause problems. Though, if that homologous sequence is high in CG content, you might be concerned unless the sequence is a bit shorter. Other possible locations for off-target interactions are at splice regulatory sites or at microRNA target sites. I'd suggest you don't let your off-target analysis paralyze you. Doing a perfect job could eat up a lot of time. Morpholino specificity is very good compared to other available types of oligos for gene knockdown, and usually off-target interactions aren't found with morpholinos. If you do locate a problematic homology, we're happy to look for another oligo target for you. Just mark the previous oligo target on the target RNA sequence and submit it with a brief note asking for a new oligo design. For the oligo to do its job, you'll need to get it into the cytosol and nuclear compartment of cells. The good news is that if you can get the oligo into the cytosol, they'll freely diffuse into the nucleus, so you don't have to do any extra steps to get your splice-modifying oligos to the location where they are active. However, when targeting translation or splicing, the plasma membrane is a barrier that morpholinos must cross, and they almost always need some assistance to do that. Folks who work with embryos usually micro-inject morpholinos into early zygotes. Microinjecting at the single-cell stage works well, as the oligo will be present in the daughter cells after cell division. Some organisms, like zebrafish, have early zygotic cells that are permeable to macromolecules. Zebrafish can be injected into the single zygotic cell as late as the 8-cell stage, with reasonable assurance that the morpholino will distribute homogeneously throughout the embryo. Don't try this with Xenopus, as oligos injected into one cell of a 2-celled Xenopus zygote will only be present in the daughter cells of the cell that was injected. Electroporation is used for tissue cultures as well as for chick embryos, and protocols have been published for delivery by electroporation into later-stage zebrafish and Xenopus embryos. If you click on the Customer Support tab at our website and then follow the link titled Download Protocols, Publications, and Useful Documents, you'll find a protocol for delivery into tissue culture using an Amaxa nucleofector. The Downloads page also has a box in the right column that contains links to abstracts describing electroporation delivery protocols for chick, zebrafish, and Xenopus. Morpholinos can also be delivered into cultured cells using our Endoporter endosomal release agent. Endoporter is a peptide that makes endosomes leaky, allowing endocytosed material to enter the cytosol of cells. It works effectively with most cell types, although it is toxic to some. The Endoporter DMSO formulation gives the best delivery and should be used unless the cells are known to be adversely affected by DMSO concentrations of 0.6% in the culture medium. Because some undifferentiated cell types are triggered to differentiate by very low DMSO concentrations, we offer an aqueous formulation of Endoporter, but this is only about a quarter as effective in our HeLa test system when compared to the DMSO formulation. Endoporter in DMSO is a convenient solution for delivery of morpholinos into most tissue cultures. For systemic delivery to adult animals, use vivo morpholinos. These are morpholino oligos covalently conjugated with octaguanidinium dendrimers. When delivered into mice by intravenous or intraperitoneal injection, the morpholinos enter the cells from the extracellular fluids. Efficacy of delivery varies somewhat by the tissue type and the delivery method. For some data on IV delivery into mice, see Lee et al. In Bioconjugate Chemistry 2008, Volume 19, pages 1464 to 1470. Vivo morpholinos also work in zebrafish, and we expect to see publications appear describing work in other organisms, but now, in the summer of 2008, this is still a new product. You might want to modify the morpholino with an end group, such as a fluorescent tag or the vivo morpholino delivery moiety. Our carboxyfluorescein tag is the best choice for all-around fluorophore. We also offer a lysamine tag, a red-emitting fluorophore, which is especially useful if you have cells that autofluoresce at wavelengths near the green carboxyfluorescein emission. However, the lysamine can decrease the aqueous solubility of a morpholino. So if you can use a green emitter, I'd suggest choosing the carboxyfluorescein. We have some other end modifications available, including biotin and dabsil. There are also some groups you can use if you want to conjugate a morpholino with the compound of your choice. We offer primary amine groups, which can be attached to either the 3' or 5' end of the morpholino, or we offer a 3' disulfide group. To see prices for morpholinos, look under the ordering tab of our website in the current price list link. Once you know the morpholino sequence and what end modifications, if any, that you want, you can place the order online using our online store. You can order by fax, but if you order online, you'll have easy access to more information about your order. You'll need an online account, which is easy to set up. In the left margin of our homepage, you'll see a box titled Online Store Login. Toward the bottom of that box is a link titled Create New Account. Click there and enter your email address and your choice of username. You might want to set up a lab account so that all the lab's records are collected in one place. Be sure that you enter a correct email address. The system will email a temporary password to you. Go back to the GeneTools homepage and enter your username and temporary password into the fields in the online store login box. You can tell that you've arrived in the secure online store because the webpage background changes from the light green of the website to the light yellow of the store. The system will then collect some information about you and will ask you to select a different password. Once that's done, you can proceed with ordering products. The product categories are listed atop the store page as purple links. To order a custom morpholino oligo, click on the Custom Morpholinos Vivo Morpholinos link. You'll see a page with a big box titled General Sequence Information. There are three fields in that first box titled Antisense Oligo Sequence, GenBank Number, and Target mRNA Sequence. You've already received a morpholino design from the free design service, right? Fill in the Antisense Oligo Sequence field and ignore the other two fields. While you can order with a GenBank number or an mRNA sequence if you're in a terrible hurry, I'd suggest avoiding that. We would design a sequence and make an oligo for you, but the sequence would not be checked for off-target homology. Now look at the next big box down, titled Primary Oligo for Sequence Above. This is where you name the oligo, choose the oligo type, choose antisense if you entered the antisense oligo we designed for you, choose the quantity, and select any end modifications you need. The quantity will be a measured, delivered quantity, not just a synthesis scale. You order 300 nanomoles, we ship you 300 nanomoles. A 300 nanomole order treats about 150 milliliters of culture medium for delivery into tissue culture by endoporter or electroporation. At the bottom of the custom morpholino page is a button labeled Add to Cart. Once the fields are set up as you like, click on that button. You can continue to shop for more oligos or other items from the purple products categories atop the page. In the left margin is a link titled View Cart, which you can use to see what you have in your electronic shopping cart. When you click on View Cart, you can see a list of items on a page with a button at the bottom labeled Proceed to Checkout. You'll also see this page every time you add an item to your cart. When the cart lists all the items you want, and only those items, click on the Proceed to Checkout button. This will take you to pages that collect your shipping address, billing information, and method of payment. You can pay by credit card or purchase order number. During checkout, you'll see a field labeled Coupon Code, where you can enter a code for thank you gifts for orders of $400 or more. There's a list of codes in the left margin of that page for thank you gifts. In summer of 2008, these are various sizes and designs of Gene Tools t-shirts. Once you have placed your order, the store will automatically generate an order confirmation and send it to the email address listed in your online account. Be sure to look over the order confirmation and give us a call right away if anything needs to be changed. Since the order was placed online, you can log in anytime, go to your order, and check its status as it goes through various stages: purchased, pre-production, accounting, production, packing ready, packing, shipping, and shipped. When the order is shipped, a FedEx tracking number is posted that is linked to FedEx. Click on the number to see an update on the order's delivery status from FedEx. It usually takes less than 2 weeks from ordering to shipment of a Morpholino Oligo. Your Oligo comes as a lyophilized, sterile, fluffy solid in a glass jar, unless you ordered a Vivo Morpholino, which comes as a ready-to-inject solution in glass with a pierceable septum. Either way, the Oligo is stable enough to sit on a loading dock for many days without degradation, so don't worry if the Oligo arrives by FedEx on a holiday weekend. If your Oligo came as a dry powder, we recommend making a 1 millimolar solution in sterile water as a stock. Water is preferred over buffers because Oligos dissolve better in water. Oligo mass can be assayed by MALDI-TOF mass spectrometry, most conveniently from a water solution, and, if needed, Oligos can be dried from water by freeze-drying and redissolved at higher concentration. Store your Oligo stocks at room temperature in the dark, or alternatively, refrigerated or frozen. I prefer room temperature storage because this helps avoid the occasional solubility problem. It is a good habit to keep Morpholinos in the dark, so that if you happen to be storing an Oligo with a fluorescent label, the fluorophore won't become photo-bleached. Before you use or aliquot a Morpholino Oligo that has been cold, heat the Oligo solution to 65 degrees centigrade for 10 minutes. That way, if some of the Oligo has come out of solution, you favor redissolution. Don't chill Oligo solutions on the bench. Morpholinos are not cleaved by nucleases like nucleic acids can be, so you don't need to inhibit enzyme activity with low temperatures. Solubility of Morpholinos is better at room temperature, and you want your Oligo entirely in solution so that you are working with a known and reproducible concentration. Now that you've heard the details, let's run through the summary one more time. Hopefully now these topics will call more detail to mind. Choose a target gene. Choose a targeting strategy, like blocking translation or modifying splicing. Choose an organism or cell type. Send the RNA sequence you want to target to Gene Tools for Oligo design. When the Oligo design comes back, check the Oligo target for homology with targetable regions of other genes. If needed, have Gene Tools select a different target. Decide on a delivery strategy. Decide on Oligo end modifications. Place the order online. Receive the Oligo from FedEx. Make a stock solution in sterile water. Store Oligos at room temperature in the dark. You may also refrigerate or freeze Morpholinos, though this sometimes makes Oligos precipitate. Before use, heat Oligos that were stored cold to 65 degrees centigrade for 10 minutes. This concludes this Gene Tools audio note on getting and preparing a Morpholino Oligo. For more information, visit Gene Tools online at www.gene-tools.com or search the keyword Morpholino on the web. Thanks for your ear, and let us know how we can help.